Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Good morning, Dr. Looper.
Good morning, Haley. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, except for I know you're not good because you told me before that you're having a reaction.
So,
tell us about it.
So we are cleaning up my gut. This has been an ongoing project. When we first discovered that my gut was kind of full of this toxic bacteria.
Why are we doing this?
Well, initially, I had tested my gut bacteria because I was having symptoms of depression, and knowing that everything was linked together, I was having lots of anxiety, lots of depression. So I was like, okay, let's test my hormone levels. That test went out and I was like, okay, while I'm doing my hormone, I should probably look at my gut. The gut came back first, and that came back with infections and bad bacteria. Our conversation at that point was, all right, your gut is taking your body's ability to process your hormones because your blood is going to your gut instead of your liver. We started, and then my hormones came back with high cortisol levels, which we anticipated.
So for the listeners here, thank you for telling this story, this personal story. I appreciate you having the courage to put this out here. What the listeners don't necessarily know is that you've been going through a lot of changes, good changes, not bad changes, good changes. You bought a house, you're growing as a human being, and it's fabulous. And you're doing it on purpose, and things are working for you, and this is great. It's not bad news, it's good news. Except for so often the case is, when we're going through and making a lot of changes, it disrupts us. It throws us off balance. It screws up our hormones. It screws up our mood. It screws up a bunch of stuff. And so now the question is, what do you do? Now, any normal person in a normal situation would go to the doctor and they get put on a SSRI.
Antidepressant, right. Or an anti-anxiety medication. But I...
Totally standard. And it works. The mood picks up for a while. But then it's not, doesn't pick up. And then other problems come. And then there usually is this complication. And, you know, medicine is, you know, rough and there's only so much we can do in that kind of conversation. Now, what we do know is there's a definite connection between your gut and the rest of you.
Yes, absolutely.
Including your head.
And the one thing that I was mostly thinking of during this period of time was the gut-brain axis. And how your gut will send neurotransmitters to your brain or lack thereof. Yeah. Also, my liver's ability to process those stress chemicals that my brain is regulating and sending.
I'm doing a talk on the 28th of July. I'm not sure if this show is going to come out before that or it's going to come out after that. It's a series they do every year called Healthy Living. And they have local doctors and practitioners of different sorts give a presentation on some element of health. And the one that we're going to do is on your gut bacteria and how they influence your health. So this gut bacteria has been on my mind for sure because I'm doing a deep dive into the literature, reading a bunch of stuff, finding out what other people are doing, you know, going over the big picture here. And also the little picture, the deep picture, looking at, you know, what are the mechanisms in order to fix this thing? There's a bunch to be said, more than we could do in a half hour show. But what I want to focus on is that one of the elements here, mm-hmm. which is your gut affects your health.
Period. Okay,
for sure. There's a bunch of mechanisms. We know this more than we ever did. But here's the tricky thing. Very good, Dr. Looper. Now what? What do I do? Do I take a probiotic? Do I eat celery? I mean, what's the next step here? Mm-hmm. And the answer is, yeah, good question. Mm-hmm. It's not laid out. This is the downside of this whole field, this whole strategy of health is, okay, it's all screwed up. Now you ran the test, it's all screwed up. Now what? How do you fix it? And then if you do fix it, what side effects can you expect?
Right.
And so what you did is you took stuff mm-hmm. to fix your gut. Mm-hmm. And what you end up getting is a detox reaction.
Yeah, this die-off.
Now tell us about it.
So I'm back on my regimen. I'm doing my herbs. I'm doing my probiotic. I'm doing my chia seeds. What I'm noticing is my skin is oozing. And I wouldn't say they're zits. Some of them are zits. Some of them are bigger than zits and are like boils almost. But all of that yucky material is coming out through my skin, which makes sense because for so long before I knew about the bacteria, my acne started to flare. That was more so after pregnancy. Throughout high school and adolescence, I had clear complexion. I didn't have a problem with acne. But after pregnancy, after becoming busy, after so many life changes, after my gut microbiome was compromised and bad bacteria started to grow, I started getting this complexion issue. Now, it resolved for a short period of time, but I noticed that now I'm back on my regimen, it's coming back and it's purging through my skin.
Yeah, so this thing where you get some sort of symptom that you didn't have before when you're going through this treatment of your gut is common. And it's not all your skin breaking out. It can be any number of things. Mostly there's always some sort of discharge. Your body actually releases something. So it could be diarrhea. It could be constipation. It could be a rash. It could be a runny nose, like a cold, a cough. I've seen mucus come up from doing this thing and lots of different kinds of things like this. And what most people want to do when this happens is they want to stop the program because whatever the symptom is, you know, it's they don't like it and they want to stop it. And they think, well, I'm getting a rash and I need to stop the program. That turns out to be a mistake because the detox process really depends on you killing off the bad organisms. And as the organisms are dead, they break. Mm-hmm. And then the shards have more surface area than the actual organisms. So the die-off usually is worse than the actual infection. The chances of getting symptoms is more when you're doing the die-off. Now, if you stop doing the program, what happens is they just all grow back. And then you're back to square one. But if you can just reduce the program, just cut it in half, or cut it down to a third, then you can give yourself a chance to catch up and get the toxins out of your system. And you know, your body's the reason why you're getting this discharge, because your body's trying to get rid of the toxins by whatever means possible. So yeah, anyway, so the symptom you get, what you do is you note, I'm getting a die-off reaction. Typically you get achy and moody, yeah, and there's a bunch of other stuff that goes along
with it. Fatigue. I'm thinking of maybe like more severe cases that include like mold or include like parasites and the die-off of those.
It could be big.
And they could be, much more so. Severe.
Where you're actually, the die-off effect is worse than the disease itself.
Right.
Anyways, what you do is you cut back on the intensity of the die-off. You do something, either just let time pass and just kind of get better if it's not too bad, or if it's really bad, you do something to enhance the flow, whatever it is that's coming out of your system. I mean, if you get diarrhea, you don't want to take something that's going to stop the diarrhea. That's a bad idea
because
you're just going to make yourself sicker.
More water to clear your system.
Yeah, the solution to pollution is dilution. Right. And you want to dilute whatever the toxins are. So you drink water like crazy, lots and lots of water, lots of fluids. You know, it's not only water. So one of the things that works really good against this is green tea. Uh-huh. Another thing that works really good against this is the chia seed drink. You mentioned chia seeds earlier. Mm-hmm. Not everybody knows exactly what we're talking about.
Our infamous chia seeds.
What you do is you mix a couple tablespoons of chia seeds with 4 ounces of purple juice. Cherry juice is my favorite, but it could be other ones. And then 12 ounces of water. So it's a dilute purple juice. And the the juice and the chia seeds combine. The chia seeds soak up the moisture and they work as a prebiotic. And they actually enhance the beneficial bacteria. They also act as an anti-inflammatory. You know, there's lots of, you know, fiber in the world. And chia seeds are a source of fiber. But there's all kinds of stuff. Metamucil and apple pectin and who knows what. All kinds of things, right? And I like the chia seeds better because they have this anti-inflammatory oil in the seeds. And the seeds are small enough that our bodies can break them down usually. If you really want to get access to the oil, one thing you could do is just run the seeds through a grinder. It kind of makes it a little bit easier, but it's not necessary. Now, flax seeds will do the same thing, but those seeds are tough. Uh-huh. And you have to run those through a grinder if you're going to get access to the oil. It's the same kind of story. It's beneficial oil. It's anti-inflammatory. Lots of fiber, both soluble and insoluble fiber. So it cleans our guts out, feeds our good bacteria. It's one of the most strong tools we have to actually fix this thing. Let me back up. So we figured out, the science has figured out that the gut bacteria are important to our health. But the science has not figured out what the heck to do to fix it. Now, what they're trying to do is they're trying to come up with probiotics that you take and then you get better. And unfortunately, they're not working. I'm sorry.
Why
to
aren't they working?
Because they just don't. Sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. They're like spotty. Some people get this incredible transformation, but most everybody doesn't.
And so many people out there are recommending probiotics.
Yep,
that
and
is
they're wrong.
A big fad.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't really make much of a difference. Sometimes it does. So there's going to be anecdotal cases where it makes a huge difference. But those are rare. They're not the norm. Most normal people who take them don't get anything from it. Now, I know this because, you know, years ago, I was reading about stuff. I thought, oh, let's do probiotics. And I tried to get the best one I could. And I shopped around and I looked at different kinds of things and I gave them to patients and then came back. I said, how you doing? They'd say, meh, about the same. Well, that didn't work.
Well,
that's unsatisfying for me as a doctor. So I've quit doing that. I hardly ever use probiotics now. So the only time I use probiotics, really, is when I'm trying to suck up the toxins.
Yeah.
It turns out probiotics are excellent sponges.
Right.
For pulling the toxins in. And funny thing is, we're struggling so hard to get live bacteria into people. Turns out the dead stuff works just as well for sucking up the toxins.
So
dead bacteria works just as well as the live stuff.
So it works as a binder.
Yeah,
so
it works as a binder. Those chemicals that the bad organisms, the bad bacteria mostly, they could be fungus and other stuff too, are making are to compete.
Mm-hmm.
They're to knock down the competition and triumph. And so they're designed specifically to interact with organic substances.
Okay.
Well, probiotics are organic substances.
Mm-hmm.
And you take them in a pill and you poop them out. I mean, it turns out they're little sponges and they'll suck up toxins better than just about anything. Now, most people know about who work with this know about charcoal.
Right.
Yeah,
I was
and charcoal
ask
is
about
weak.
Clay.
Bentonite clay.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's weak.
Okay.
It's good sometimes. Some certain things get picked up by bentonite clay very nicely, but not everything. It's just clay. It doesn't really absorb stuff very well.
Mm-hmm.
What absorbs stuff well is the biologics. So the stuff that will interact with the toxins that are being created, and they just soak them up, and it turns out to be the best thing ever. Yeah, again, I could do a show on different kinds of agents for sucking up toxins. I really don't want to do that. What I want to talk about is the bigger picture, which is you do something to try to help yourself.
Yes.
And you get sick.
Right. And yeah. And thankfully, you know, I'm not having flu-like symptoms. I'm not having fatigue.
But still, you break out, right?
Actually, now that I reflect, I am having a little bit more fatigue in the evening. I am having fatigue about 5 o'clock. To 7, 8 o'clock, and I'm just like done for the day. 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and then 8 o'clock rolls around, and I'm like, oh, okay, it's time to finish the day, and then I'll have like a second wind until like 11, 12, which is
interesting. Yeah,
yeah, I think is more so to do with the seasonal changes that we're going through, and
also the adrenal hormones tend to kick in when your adrenal hormones are not centered and balanced. You'll do this second wind thing at night. And go up. When we see that, what I end up doing is putting people on adrenal support,
mm-hmm.
and it takes care of it.
And you have put me on adrenal support, so I need to start doing that.
It really helps a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like putting training wheels on your glands, right?
Yeah.
And you're keeping them in the straight and narrow,
right.
Doing what they're supposed to do instead of going cattywampus and doing
all whatever
stuff.
They want to
yeah.
do.
So anyways, the best treatment for this, I want to be clear on this because people listening to the radio or watching the video, the best treatment for this is to build up, to encourage your gut bacteria, the good ones. And so we said this a zillion times, I'm going to repeat and say, the worst thing you can do for gut bacteria is to feed them leftover food that you should have digested. So what you got to do is you got to make sure that you digest everything you eat. If you send undigested food down into your lower intestine, it's just going to feed the bad bacteria. They're going to make toxins out of it. It's going to make you sick. So you got to be super, super careful not eating anything that won't digest.
Yes.
Okay.
Eat the digestible food.
Yeah. So can you give me an example of something that won't digest?
Carbs.
Greasy carbs.
Greasy carbs.
Greasy
okay,
carbs.
Okay. So the pizza I ordered this weekend.
Yeah. If you coat the carbs in oil, then it makes it harder to digest them because the oil acts as a barrier for the digestive enzymes to get access to it. Your body can break down that oil by releasing bile salts, bile, which
yes.
is salts from the bile. And that acts as an emulsifier, breaks down the oil and lets the enzymes get access to it. But this whole thing takes an extra step, slows down the process. Now, some people just have cast iron stomachs and they just make tons of digestive enzymes. They can break anything down, right? They're not anything, not rocks, but anything that's, you know, near digestible, they can break down. Alligators are particularly good at this. Really. They yeah. break down leather and stuff like that. Right. They're just good at it. Mm-hmm. Of course, it takes them a month. Mm-hmm. But they suck all the nutrition out of it. They got this way of getting through stuff. Interesting how alligators have got the superpower. We're not alligators. No. We eat it. We do our best. And then we poop it out, except for it's not digested all the way. Then it's free food. Woo-woo, free food. Who's ever nearby gets to eat it. Well, nearby means the bugs that are inside your gut, living on the occasional crumb that makes it through the process. And now suddenly they got this boon, manna from heaven's coming down in the form of undigested pizza hunks.
So I also was reviewing my GI map. That's the test that we use. And I am low in an enzyme that breaks down my food.
Yeah. So this is a weakness that you have. You don't digest your food very well. It's the nice thing about the test is they check for that. And if you know you have that, then what you have to do is careful not to overeat, number one. Maybe take digestive enzymes as an aid.
Uh-huh.
You know, back in the old days, I did digestive enzymes routinely and got people better all the time. As I mature in the fullness of my career as a doctor, discovered I hate pills.
Yes.
And so I really try hard to figure out some way other than taking something, we can get this thing to go.
Well, and how to support the body's natural ability to do its own job, right?
Yeah.
So how would we, in this protocol, support the body's ability to produce these digestive enzymes so that it can break down this food?
Yeah, taking bitters is probably the best way to do mm-hmm. it. And you're still taking something, but the bitters are less, and they are stimulatory to your system. And so the taste of bitter stimulates your body to make more digestive enzymes. It's a reflex.
When
kicks it on.
We heal the gut microbiome, when we build the beneficial flora, does that then build the body's ability to produce these digestive enzymes?
Yes. Making digestive enzymes and going through this whole digestive process is energy intensive. It's the most intensive energy thing that you ever do. More than anything. More than exercise. More than thinking deep thoughts. More than whatever. About a third of the total calories that you burn in a day goes towards digestion. And so if you're weak and you're tired, and your body's, you know, trying its best to try to get everything done, and it needs to put extra energy somewhere, it'll pull from your digestive system more than anywhere. And, you know, you get through a day or two and you get upset stomach and you can somehow come through it the other side and you maybe rest a little bit more. And then you come out better for it. And your body knows it can do this and get away with it. So it'll do it. And if it does on a regular basis, you do this every day, then you're screwed because your guts get bad. Your microflora gets all screwed up because there's too much food coming down, feeding the bad bacteria. And then what they're doing is they're eating what they want and they're pooping out what they don't want. And that out, you know, out to it, that's getting sucked up. It's going into your liver. It's going into your brain. It's going in all these other places. It's affecting your energy. It's affecting your mood. It's affecting your hormones. It's affecting your life. You're just going through the grind. You wonder, why do I fight so hard? Because I feel so horrible. And there it is. Your microflora is all screwed up. So what do? It's not taking a probiotic. It's not going to fix it. There's too many pieces to the puzzle here.
Right.
You just can't give it a little poke and get it to go well. What you have to do is you have to really think deeply about, well, is this good for my digestive system or is this bad for my digestive system? Food is a cornerstone of doing this thing. But it's not so much that you have to eat, you know, celery sticks and carrots. What you have to do is you have to think, can I digest this thing? What can I do to enhance the digestion of something? And one of the things you could do is to chew your food well. That goes a long way. The other one is to eat lots and lots of fruits and vegetables. Drinking water is helpful, but you got to drink water in the right time. Because if you drink a big glass of water when you're eating, you just diluted your digestive enzymes.
Oh.
So you're better off doing water in between meals and actually get your water in then.
Okay.
That way your digestive enzymes are more concentrated. Also, you want to think about what kind of foods you mix with other kinds of foods. If you're eating melon and steak at the same time, well, your body digests steak in an acid environment. You need acid to break the proteins down. And melons and fruits and things, they need an alkaline environment.
Oh.
And so now you're putting food that's not compatible with each other.
Yeah.
Now, some people, again, have very strong digestive systems, and they can eat steak and melon. They don't have any problem at all.
Yeah.
Or if you eat a little bite or two, who cares, right? But if you're going to do this on a regular basis, then chances are you're going to have a problem with it. And so food combining is a thing as well. We never talk about food combining.
No, this is the first time that you've brought up that
aspect.
It is.
It's a thing. Yeah, it's another thing.
And it's so eye-opening because, yeah, it takes our body such a long time to break down protein. But for these acidic fruits like melon or oranges or
usually
pineapple.
They're easy.
Yeah.
They're easy to break down. Mm-hmm. They break down on their own. Pineapple comes with its own proteolytic enzymes included right there inside of it.
Yeah, very acidic. It burns my tongue whenever
well,
I eat it.
It's not just the acid, it's actually enzymes. They have nothing to do with the acid.
The bromelase.
The bromelain is what it is. Bromelain is a digestive enzyme. It breaks down proteins. And so
would
it's
it be
included
to
in the pineapple.
Eat it prior to your steak?
It's weak.
Okay.
So you can extract bromelain, put it in a capsule, and take it with meat and digest meat better. That's a thing. And there's way better stuff than that. The proteolytic enzymes that we use in Similase work, I don't know, five times better, something like that. The key thing with this thing, the die-off reaction, you gotta go through the steps here. Number one, notice, hey, I'm having a die-off reaction. I'm taking this stuff, I'm having this thing I didn't have before. Chances are this is a die-off reaction. It's working.
Mm-hmm.
Except for not so much yay, because the treatment is worse than the disease. We're going to back off on the treatment. We're going to do less of it, whatever it is. Not none, just half or a third of what we were doing before. And then we're going to drink lots of water. And then we're going to, if we're not taking chia seeds already, we're going to definitely take chia seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And the purple is super helpful in knocking down the detox reaction. That's the reason why we add the purple stuff in there. That's called anthocyanins. These anthocyanins help diffuse the detox reaction. So at this point, I hardly ever get a detox reaction. We're going to trade time for intensity. We're going to do this for longer, and it's not going to be as intense. That way you can get through it, and it'll build you up, and you come out of the end stronger and more stable and able to, you know, occasionally eat pizza and not have it, you know, completely knock you off your feet.
Right.
Maybe. Our metabolism slows as we get older. So all of these things we're talking about are much more likely to happen as you age. And it's a shock and a horror, because most people will go through their teens and not have a problem. Sometimes they do. Most of the time they don't. And even into their 20s, they do fine. And maybe even into their 30s. But typically, by the time someone gets to their early 30s to mid-30s, they're going to start having a problem. They can't do something they used to be able to do. Now they get heartburn where they never got it before. Now they get joint pain where they never got it before. Now they get something. It's so weird, particularly if women who've had babies, because that really changes, isn't you?
It's
really
me.
Changes your metabolism. And so now you're not the same person you were before. You come through it a different person with a slower metabolism, without
right.
any doubt, with a slower metabolism. And then, you know, you could rail against the universe and how it's not fair, except for whatever. You know, you got to adapt. You got to make the best with what you got. So doing the occasional treatment to restore the integrity and harmony of your digestive microflora is worth doing.
Yes.
This is an actual thing that's worth doing. And you just got to nudge your way through the detox reactions if you're getting any. Really set it up where you don't get those reactions. And if you do get those reactions, focus on building up your microflora. So let's go through the steps again. Step number one is, I mentioned already, keep doing your program. Maybe cut it back. Step number two is absolutely positively add fiber and drink lots of water.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that'll take care of it right then and there. Sometimes it may be that your digestive system's really, really weak, and what you're going to have to do is use a crutch to help it. That crutch is digestive enzymes.
Okay.
And crutches are great. You use them for 6 weeks and then you throw them in the garage because you don't need them anymore,
right? And then
right?
after that 6 week period, does it amplify your body's natural ability to produce those enzymes itself? Or
only because you got healthier. Yeah.
Yeah, because you have less bacteria.
Right. So now you don't have to make as many enzymes because you're getting them from the pills, so your body can use that energy to do other stuff with and then fix things that it needed to fix or clean things it needed to clean. Those kinds of things.
But there is no dependency risk.
No dependency. Good question. If you take it, or do I have to take it forever? The
right.
answer is no. But what happens is you get better. Here's how you can tell you don't need it. You quit taking it and you can't tell.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do it. When you take it and you feel better, you needed it. When you quit and you feel worse, you needed it.
Mm-hmm.
When you quit and you don't feel worse, you don't need it. Your body's good. It's doing what it needs to do all on its own. You know, you sprained your ankle and you needed a crutch for a few weeks, but now your ankle got better. And now you don't need a crutch like that. It's a temporary thing that you do while you're going through transition.
Now, I wanted to kind of jump back to a point that you made just a moment ago about doing this work and how important it is and how this is what needs to be done to set you up for the rest of your life. I'm researching all of these bacterias and I'm seeing like, oh, this bacteria can eventually lead to inflammatory bowel disease. This can lead to Crohn's disease, to ulcerative colitis.
Yeah, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, really, you know, just being overwhelmed, fearful, and depressed. This is a common cause of that. Sometimes these are situational, but a lot of times they are not situational. The situation of your life does not fit the mood that you have. And so there's something that's wrong here. And frequently, it turns out to be your gut bacteria.
Yeah. And in my experience, in my case, I wasn't experiencing, I mean, sure, I'm a woman. I have bloat. I thought that it was like a natural thing throughout my cycle every month. I wasn't really thinking too much into it being a problem until I saw the results of my GI map. So my symptoms weren't necessarily GI related. They were more so the mental.
Yeah, mental and hormonal, as so often is the case. Lots of times I'll have patients come in, they say, there's something wrong with my digestive system. It's fine. And I go, au contraire, that bloat you have, it's not normal. Really? Yeah. And the fact you're constipated, you know, every other day is not normal. Really? I thought that was normal. That's just how I am. My
mom
was
that
way. My grandma was
that
way. I mean, this is how we are.
Yeah.
No.
Or that
y'all have this disease.
Your periods are so bad. Your cramps are so bad. All of these, you know, peripheral symptoms I had no idea were connected to my gut.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. So it's worth going through this whole thing. Now, a lot of times it's weird for me because things get to be kind of fatty, like a fad.
Oh, right.
And this detox thing is definitely in fad territory.
Absolutely, because every time I get on my YouTube or my social media and I'm looking into, you know, different cleanses, different detoxes, everything is drop 10 pounds, drop 30 pounds.
Because the inflammation goes down, so your body doesn't hold water as much, and then you pee the water out and you feel better for it. So it is a thing. It's a real thing. The thing is, it's tricky. There's a lot of different levels to it. And the basic level is, and I want to stress this, because you don't have to come see me to be able to do this thing. What you have to be able to do is you have to be able to make the decision, is this good for my guts? You have to look at it and think, is this good gut food? Now, if it's greasy and carby, and the answer is no. If it turns out to be...
If it's creamy and sugary, no.
It turns out to be vegetable-y and protein-y, chances are, yeah, as long as you don't overeat. So again, if it tastes good, spit it out, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, and if it tastes like healthy, well, that turns out to be the thing. Now, when you first start, it's hard to get used to that because you're used to sweet and creamy and rich. And it doesn't feel right. It doesn't give you that warm, happy feeling like you had
before.
It
doesn't release those.
Yeah, the serotonin, what little serotonin you have pops when you eat the donut holes, right? So what you do instead is you give it 3 weeks of eating healthy. And then at the end of 3 weeks, you do an assessment and think, how do I feel now? Because at that point, you've already gone through the detox. You know, really the detox, one thing I didn't mention, how long does the detox last? The answer is typically 2-3 days. Mm-hmm. Not more than that.
Mm-hmm.
It could be longer than that if it's ongoing. The hormone stuff would last longer. But the diarrhea and the rash and those kinds of things, typically will be gone tops a week.
Yeah, mine was last week when I started my regimen again. Within the first 4 days, I started to get little zits around my body, around my face. And now they're all healed up and I haven't gotten any new ones.
Good. Excellent. Mm-hmm. So there it is, like that. And then you get through this whole thing and you come out better for it. Your head's clear. Your energy's better. You start thinking, you know, we should do something fun. Yeah, you get ambitious is what happens. And then we know we're on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works, just like that. Now, we got to be out of time, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we are.
Good. Well, I'm glad we got a chance to talk about your case.
Thank you.
And I think it's a common situation that a lot of people are going to get some benefit from to relate to what you're going through. And again, give you kudos for your courage and fortitude at pushing through to get more healthy and clean and feeling better and going through this whole process. Good job.
Wonderful. Thank you, Dr. Leeper.
My pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy.
This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.